What's up, world? Coming at you live and direct and hitting you in the chest like a shot of straight Jack. This is No Chasing with Petey Mac. Let's get it. What's good, world? It's your country cousin, Pete McCarver, a.k.a. Petey Mac. You already know it is. I'm joined with the person y'all heard him on the last episode. Introduce yourself, my man.
I'm the legendary Sonny G. And we have I'm not the guest. I'm actually just the third wheel on this interview. But introduce your guest.
Yeah, we do have a guest today. Man, when they say it is a small world, it is a small world. I actually went to college with his wife. I didn't even know she remembered me until he hit me up and said, my wife told me about you. You funny. I'm like, really, your wife remember me? I was like, she remember me? Because, and I didn't know, but then again, y'all, I was drunk a lot in college. I was blasted a lot. I don't even remember graduation. They like, hey, Pete, you just got your degree. Really? When did we graduate? We graduated today. I was like, oh, man, we did graduate today. But, no. Good brother. I've chopped it up with him a few times. Think you out of D.C. You mean you from D.C. originally, right?
Originally, I'm from upstate New York.
Okay. Okay. But no, this man been all around.
You do have a kind of like, your swag is hard to pin down. Like, I felt like there was some New Yorker there, but then I felt like there's some Southerner there, and then there's a little Midwestern somewhere there. That might be in your DNA or something. But
okay, so we need to...
I actually moved from Albany, New York to Northern Virginia, Alexandria, so right there in D.C.
Okay, so we got to introduce him. Good brother from just talk to him.
From Maryland, basically.
Mr. Marquise Johnson, or did you go by Reborn King? Because you both...
Sweatbox TV.
Huh?
Sweatbox TV.
Talk. That's what you... That's what
that's
you.
Why, yep.
Okay.
Sweatbox
all right. TV, yep. So appreciate you bringing us into your home today. Boy, when I tell y'all this man stay in the cut, he stay in the cut.
I guarantee you, no Jehovah's Witness is knocking on the door.
Because he got a heel door. Right there. Them Jehovah's Witness, they probably be like, they come up to here, man, fuck it. What did you say?
I don't even like coming home tonight.
They be like, what did you say, Josiah? Fuck it. I don't care. I don't care if you know about Jehovah's Witness. I don't care.
Yes,
they ain't peddling that bike up here.
Appreciate that.
So earlier, we had asked, and you manage, correct?
Correct.
Go ahead and just explain a little bit of what all you're into as far as the entertainment game goes.
So basically, what I did is, I'm gonna just start from the ground, what I did was, I was straight DM. I saw that these people were posting like, we need this, that, and the third, we need managers, like, we're not getting no shows, so I just started DMing people with blue checks, and I was persistent. And eventually somebody hit me back and trusted me, so I actually moved forward with him. He's on Wild N Out, Royce Bell. So at the end of the day, he actually gave me that, he lit that fire in me. It's like, I got a mouthpiece already. So it's basically just, it's staying true, so people understand, like, all right, we know he's not gonna try to screw us over. But also it's like going in there knowing what you're talking about. And I'm not gonna sit here and lie and say I'm the best person at public speaking, but I built a team around me so that way, if I can't articulate something, they can go in there and articulate it for me and we'll still get the job done. So I book walkthroughs, comedy shows, all paid events, I'm still holding on my words. This really isn't my lane, you know what I mean? Like I was just telling y'all, like, this isn't my lane. I was blessed enough to be put in a position to make it my lane. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still learning everything.
Okay, so you told us before we started recording, you said you started off with rappers.
Yeah.
What made you want to switch over to like managing comedians and stuff like that? Like, cause that's like, it's kind of like a big job. Even though we got some Suge Knights, Tupac and Biggie moments, and you're gonna find that out the longer you keep, So what made you go from like rap over to comedy?
The main thing was the persona of some of these rappers. Like I use rapper loosely. Like they say they want this, right? You'll talk to them, you'll sit down and say, I want this, that, and the third, as you know, right?
Yeah.
You go to the venue, they want to give them this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. it doesn't coincide with what they had. So now it's, you had no shows this whole year. So we're trying to get you one show booked for half of what you're asking for, and you're acting like this. Comedians are way more humble, basically.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, we had talked about this. I started off managing a rap group, shout out to Black Union, in Okinawa, Japan, and it was crazy because we became local celebrities. And it's always a situation when you're a local celebrity, you're only a celebrity until a real celebrity shows up.
Facts.
So we ran Okinawa up until there was a time where Lloyd Banks and Young Buck came over. And we got the opportunity to open for them. And so everybody kind of had to humble themselves. And these cats are still trying to, you know, the other cats that was on the bill is like, oh, they ain't got no Moet. They ain't got no, bro, they ain't had no Moet for you last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you was drinking Sprite last week. You know what I'm saying? You was at a 9-to-5 last week. What is you talking about Moet?
So it's that big fish and small pond. But why do y'all feel like it's like that still? Is it, y'all think it's because, like, we live in, everybody just see YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, and they don't realize that them guys, they just see, like, it's like a microwave. They call our generation a microwave generation. Because everything just so y'all feel like that's why that is? Like, everybody just think, oh, it's on YouTube. All I got to do is put it on YouTube and people going to come.
Instagram did that. YouTube's been out for years.
Yeah.
Honestly. And you can't name me 10 YouTubers from before 2019 that have been popular for years.
I can't really even name me 10 in Instagram people like that.
Exactly. But look, this is where things, you know what I mean? People are gonna probably call me crazy, but I don't care. This is where the disconnect comes with the artist. When you can buy followers, in your mind, you're tricking yourself to believe that you actually have 30,000 followers. In all actuality, you have a good 250 that are actually active.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're tricking yourself into thinking that. So 9 times out of 10, if you're doing that, you know what I mean, you probably just moved out on your own, or your mom's crib, spending bread on followers.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And I don't care if you have a blue check. I don't care about any of that. Because if you go follow me at Sweatbox TV, you'll see that I have 3 paid sponsors and I have 2,000, less than 3,000 followers.
But each of those followers, you know, are actual genuine followers. You didn't pay. You didn't go to somebody and be like, hey, if I give you $50, would you put up my, you know, say follow me or nothing like that. You know that these 3,000 people are actually there to check for what you got going on versus the 25K that somebody else got, and 20K of those are bots.
Absolutely.
And another 4K of those are people who are like, why am I even following this person?
Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you what's funny. I'm gonna tell you how annoying it is, because sometimes I'll get accepted an invite for me and I don't even know this motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Excuse
no, you can't. No, it's not.
They're from India. You know what I'm saying? I don't know you. Like, so somebody's using that app. And since it's a public app, my shit is getting mixed in the mix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, that's that. I ain't gonna get into that. But basically, what I was trying to say on that follower tip, like, Nah Creek, y'all familiar with that whiskey?
I've seen it. I ain't never had none.
It's in a store.
Yeah.
They commented on my video that I did, because I did just like a little quick parody of me coming out the room and like, big boy, fat boy shit. I had my little my shirt button open, chest hairs and shit. So I came out and I had the Nah Creek. And they commented on my shit and started following me. And they're making millions of dollars a day. Now, you got people with 30,000 likes with no sponsors? I mean, not 30,000 likes, excuse me, 30,000 followers.
But no sponsors.
But no sponsors?
And it's
Not even a merch deal. They're not even getting merch deal.
They're just pimping themselves out, basically.
They're shouting. They're basically going out here and buying a bunch of their stuff and then putting it on Instagram in hopes of them seeing it.
Giving them free basically, advertisement.
Free advertisement.
Basically,
free
advertisement. Basically, they like that thought that go to the club. Trying to spend all that money in fucking Nordstrom Rack, hoping they gonna get wiped up by a baller, only end up with a nigga who just lied and say he worked up, but he really his cousin that work at the varsity.
Right.
And now she's back to square one. That's what I took. I mean, that's the best analogy I can bring that.
The Waffle House waitress who aspires to be the stripper on the fly. Like, she's not only, she only works at the strip club. First off, she don't even work at the best strip club in the city. She works at the little back hole strip club that the GPS don't even take you to properly. But she aspires to be the chick on the flyer of Magic City. But for right now, she just...
Hey, look, I ain't gonna lie to you. After you work at Waffle House, man, hell, any aspiration you got other than Waffle House, hell, to be the night shift man at a McDonald's, I'd be like, hey, it come from Waffle House, I don't blame you, man.
But real world application, that's like last night when we went to a comedy show and I was saying comedy clubs are now booking internet sensations because of the amount of followers that they have, and they're not even like verifying that these people are funny.
Oh, they've been doing
because it. Because the thing.
Because they all about putting the ass in the seats. Like,
but
I mean,
here's the thing. Just
that's what I was going
to
say. Like,
just because you have 30,000 followers doesn't mean you're going to get a packed show. 30,000, especially like he said, if you bought your followers or if you exchange shout outs or however, yeah, that doesn't mean you're going to get, because like, you know, 30,000, 27,000 of them might be over in India. You can't get 27,000 Indians to come over here and sit in Atlanta. You can barely get the 150 you've got in Atlanta to come.
Half of them out there rolling on a bean or fucked up on their hand or smoking their good doja. So when they come in there,
so
that
here,
dude funny. Who?
So here you got a headlining internet sensation with 50,000 followers, but they can't get but 90-something people in the venue. And then now they're not even funny. So those 90 people who came to see them because they're an internet sensation is now going, I came out the house for this.
And then on top of that, because like a lot of them don't, because this is when I first moved to Atlanta back 2012, one comedian, I'm not gonna say who it is because I don't want them to seem like they hate, but they just shooting truth. He said, that's one thing I can't stand about the internet comedians. I'm like, why? He said, they only know how to do these videos that they know how to chop up and edit and cut. And but when they get out there and they in front of them and that mic up there, and they in front of just them, God, and that mic in front of their audience, he said, all they do is about 5 minutes. They still got 40 on the clock. They eat a big one. Mm-hmm. And then I gotta come up and back clean up, and but yet they go home with the gate. Mm-hmm. I barely get. I get a hey, let me talk to you, bro. Y'all know
gas money and wings.
Everybody,
you done made the whole room laugh for gas money and wings, and they walk away with.
That's if you're lucky. Because you know, 9 times, hey, bro, let me talk to you right quick. And you know, let me talk to you right quick. Oh, and then you get hit with this shit, goddamn, bro. Man. Anytime you get hit with, especially in Atlanta, be like, hey, bro, you got that money? And shit, goddamn. Oh, man. Damn, bro, I need that 150 for my girl, man, bro. I can't shit. Damn. So, but that's what a lot of a lot of people, they hate that about them, because it's like, I'm actually hitting these stages every night. I didn't grind it. I'm doing the work, and I know how to keep the crowd.
And I'm actually funny.
That's live. I know how to keep the crowd.
I'm just funny on social media. I'm funny live.
I know how to keep the crowd engaged. You go with this dude just because he got a name, and then the motherfuckers still don't even produce.
Like you said, because you got a blue check. Because you got a blue check and 50,000 followers, you gonna get the purse at the end of the night. But I'm actually funny. You know, there's a disconnect between talent and I don't know, social media presence, I guess. Uh-huh. The analytics of it.
Yep.
We live in it's illusion, bro. You know that. We live in this society where it's illusion. Like, we was talking about, like, the situation I was telling, I ain't gonna go into detail, but the situation I was talking about before we got over here, it's just, our generation is just, our way of thinking is just askew. Like,
I think he was gonna touch on it.
I'm saying that's all I'm saying. Okay, we're going. Yeah, you're going ahead.
No,
I'm saying I was through. I was through those.
Yes, yes, and that's exactly what it is. It's not even like, I wouldn't even say my generation so much, because I mean, I'm 33, so. Yeah.
Well, you did a millennial.
Yeah, true. But I mean, I feel like this new generation is so fucked up that everybody had to separate at a certain point, because the 90s babies are on some totally different
shit.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't on no pills and all of that. Uh-huh. Like, nah, none of that. That's crazy, but. To touch on that Instagram thing, I just feel like with these comedians, when people are booking them and then getting mad, you can't get mad, because at one point you thought that they were gonna pack that house because of their numbers, right?
Yes.
So they haven't, as you know, right? Mm-hmm. When you're trying to book an artist, they're gonna ask you to send over their rider, correct?
Correct.
They're gonna ask you to send over their press kit, correct?
Correct.
So at the end of the day, when you check somebody's press kit, you're gonna look and see their works, correct?
Right.
For those listeners don't know, could you elaborate on what a rider and press kit is?
A rider is something that you send over, basically like your list of demands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Demands. And a press kit is like your body's work. Like,
okay.
What you've appeared on, things like that. So at the end of the day, a team goes through and looks at all of that. So they know it's trash. Right?
Yeah.
They know it's trash. So at this point, it's all about money. It's not about the quality of people you're gonna be getting. It's the quantity, right?
Right.
So then when that quantity doesn't work out, now you're out of 40K.
Right? 40K is a lot of damn money, boy.
You out 40K and now you've left a negative
Tasting people's
mouth, yeah.
Not only that, but you're out of a bar too, because you know they're gonna drink at the bar.
Oh yeah, that's
and that's the sad part. That's the sad part. But I feel like there's a shift. You know what I'm saying? I do have to say this about the new generation. From rappers and comedians, like, they're going out and getting, and they're owning their stuff.
Oh, that's one thing I will say I do like about.
No, I love.
I love that about the new generation. They go do their own shit. Like, no, this is my stuff. I'm gonna take control of creative control. I'm gonna produce. I'm gonna have my masters. Look, I need you for distributing and all that. Okay, you don't need. Okay, well, I can do it on my own. That's why. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle. Late great Nipsey Hussle, that's the thing about him. So he was like, I'm not, like he said in Dedication, I'd be damned if I slave for some white cracker. And that don't mean that in the connotation of any white people listening. It's just stereotypically, the suits at these record labels happen to be white. So that's what he meant by I'd be damned. That's what he meant by that line. It's like, I'm not for this.
You can't exploit the new generation.
Yeah, and that's what he's basically saying. That's what he's basically.
Sorry,
no, you said, because that's basically what Nipsey was saying. He was just like, I'm not finna sit there, my talent, my sweat, my blood, my tears, my losses, just for me to come out with nothing and your ass benefit, but I'm still like living on Crenshaw and Slauson, because that's where you're from, you know?
That's fact.
Yeah, so now he's, so that's one thing, that's why my advice, and he was talking about, because I didn't even notice, I went back and listened to an old song by Rick Ross, and Gucci Man called Buy Back the Block. A lot of these, they be talking about these rappers. I said, a lot of these rappers are schooling y'all if y'all sit down and listen. Y'all just hear the ignorant shit they saying. And they really like, no, we got more stuff we trying to teach y'all.
First off, Gucci and I came up with a term that perfectly fits Gucci. Ignorelligent.
Yeah, he definitely that.
Gucci has been trying to school folks since like 2005. Facts. Like, about the, you know, ownership and stuff like, but like you said, we done spent so much time listening to the bitch I might be part of it that we ain't hear him when he was saying you gotta, you know, own all your own. Gucci can drop 4 albums a year and make just as much money that he keeps for himself as a artist who's signed to a major label and goes triple platinum. You know, and Gucci ain't got to sell as many copies as the other rapper does to see the same amount of money, because the label's gonna see, all of that money from you going triple platinum before it trickles down to you, versus Gucci just got to sell a couple thousand copies of these four albums and he still sees that same amount of money. But again, we wasn't focusing on that. We was focusing on the
that's just us as young urban generation. Like, for instance, I'm gonna throw this example, like Scarface. All we see is Scarface, the movie. Oh, not the rapper Scarface. I'm talking about the movie. My mind playing tricks on me. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite songs, and then I'm not gonna lie, his album, the Diary. When I bought it finally, I was like, well, shit, I got half of it. I got like damn near 10 of these tracks already in the phone. I already had owned basically the majority of the Diary, but no, I was talking about the movie. We just saw the man coming up, the man being a hard ass, Tony Montana being a hard ass, shooting people in the middle of the street, selling coke. We missed the damn message. Was like, man, you live life in the fast lane, you violent towards people, it's gonna come back and bite you in the ass. Because I went back and watched Scarface like a couple months ago, I'm like, how we missed this message when we were younger? We did.
Everybody wants to be the coke kingpin. Nobody realizes he dies in the end.
Yeah. Double barrel to the back.
No, they realize it because one of them actually do it. That's why.
Yeah.
And but just to touch on what you were talking about with the social media. About owning all their own. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to thank social media for that, because social media, you know, YouTube, these documentaries about these artists from back in the 90s, because they got to see what not to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And social media does show them a lot, like the internet. Like, instead of reading something, we just gonna Google it. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, they still gonna get their message, you know, but they were able to tap in early, like probably young, like 8, 9 years old, and see all these movies. Cause when that TLC movie came out, some of these rappers that's getting these millions when I was 18 years old.
Right. Yep.
So imagine how old they were like all them other movies was coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I feel like social media needs, I feel like there should be, social media should be way more strict. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you can go down a damn ignorant-ass rabbit hole on Instagram real quick.
Real quick.
I done been down a rabbit hole on Instagram, and I just like, how the hell did I get here? Yeah. Why am I so deep? But she got a fat ass, like.
You know who doesn't get enough credit for the way that the new generation operates? Soulja Boy.
Oh no, he is the proto. They clown Soulja Bro, but he was the prototype of how to use social media to your advantage.
Nobody would be making money on YouTube views, Spotify, Instagram, or nothing had it not been for Soulja Boy.
You don't even get paid on Instagram.
Really? Oh wait, no, you gotta have a sponsorship. We just talked about that. You gotta get a sponsorship from other companies. You can't get it from the Instagram, don't pay nothing.
That's where they don't realize. That's what they fail to realize right there. They Instagram don't give you no check. Yep. You don't even get paid from YouTube. You get paid from Google AdSense.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh wow, I learned
your new thing. So you get paid from Google.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, it's like you're putting all this content Instagram and getting mad likes, but if I'm scrolling through your timeline and I'm looking and I don't see no appearances, no sponsorships, no paid advertising. I mean, you can put paid advertising up there anyway.
Like, but if it's not like a reputable company, or it's not somebody who's
if they're not commenting on your stuff, mm-hmm. if they're not active on your newsfeed, just don't believe the hype. Just don't believe. And I've been preaching this, and I've been saying this for like the last 2 years now, because everybody tried to say, well, you have 3,000 followers, but you're trying to like boost up my YouTube. Because my YouTube, I got a few videos, like three of them have 4,000, one 14,000, and then one 7,000 views. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I saw nothing from that. You know what I'm saying? So you have to go for a sponsorship with that social media. Like, that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. They're too proud to DM somebody or have somebody reach out for them to say, yo, what's what's up? Like, can you do this? You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of them don't want to seem like they nag at somebody. Cause yeah. I had a bad situation with that. Cause my sister, when I went and visited her in D.C. in Christmas 2016, she saw me go do my thing at one of the local open mic spots, and she's like, "Oh, I can tell you really passionate about doing this." Said, "Yes." Yeah. "You ever thought about reaching out to somebody?" I said, "Nah, I try, but I don't." Said, "Why don't you do it?" I said, "I don't want to feel like I'm nagging nobody." She said, "You're trying to get to where you're trying to go. You're gonna have to take that and say, fuck that." She didn't say that. That's just me paraphrasing. And you're gonna have to, like, look, I'm trying to get where you at. How can I get where you at? How can I get where you at? How can I get where you at? How can they see? They ain't gonna tell you get on. And they're like, "All right, damn, this is how you do it."
See, but that's how we think, though. And mostly, as a man as a men, like, we don't feel like asking a girl 15 million times for some pussy is nagging. But we won't go ask somebody, "Yo, I see that you just hopped out that going into there and that spot says president. What can I do to get here so I can get all of that over there? I don't even got a nag on it. It's gonna be coming to me." That's the part we really miss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not too proud to hop in somebody with a reputable blue check. And been saying, "Yo, I do this, that, and the other. What can I do?" And then I saw it, like, I've been doing this for the last 2 years, but I saw it at the A3C Summit.
Hey, Sonny, that's your joint right there.
Yeah.
So look, did you see the joint with Coach K and them? And
yeah,
the girl in the crowd was like, "Yo, I just graduated from this, that, and the third. I'm trying to do this." And he said,
"Holla at me."
"Oh, yeah?" He called his assistant name, whatever her name was, and said, "Get her information right now. I'm gonna contact you after this thing."
Yep.
Women go get it. Women go get it.
Oh, you well, yeah, especially black women. You know that.
Yeah,
you bad to a black
gonna
woman.
Get it. Women gonna go get it.
I think one of the things is, especially, we tend to shut ourselves down before we give ourselves a chance to prosper. It's like, you know, if you know, DC Young Fly. I feel like if, you know, people want to reach out to DC, they're going to tell themselves, "Oh, he's not really going to check this message. He's not really going to see this. He's not really going to." You never know. 9 times out of 10, it might be his assistant. But that one time, it might actually be him. And if you ask him something, you know, with a serious question, he may respond to you. But here's the thing. Another thing that I've noticed. So I have a friend who plays the violin. And shout out to Kimmy Strings, and she got her music in a Tyler Perry film.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And how she did that was because she watched the credits to one of his last movies, and she seen who the music supervisor was. And so instead of reaching out to Tyler Perry, she reached out to the music supervisor, who was, you know, and set up something, and that's how. And people don't think, you know what I'm saying? People always want to reach out to the star. There's somebody behind the star. There's somebody managing. There's somebody directing. There's somebody who if you do music, there's somebody who puts music on shows. There's somebody who puts music on movies. Don't reach out to the director. Reach out to the music supervisor. Reach out to the people whose job it is to find music, because they would rather pay you for your music that then have to pay a licensing fee to BMI or somebody for a song by Future or Young Thug. You know, if they can get you for half of that price and not have to go through the legal obligations of a percentage every time this song is played or each time this movie is shown, they would rather do
that. But you know, a lot of people, especially a lot of young entertainers, all they just do is see the glitz and the glamour. All they do is glitz. That's why, I've told people, when some people I know that say they want to do comedy, I'm like, "All right, well, man, you have to start small and do it." But here's the thing. They're like, "Man, I don't want to get booed." And I said, "You don't want to be no fucking comedian." I said, "You're going to catch an L. You're going to catch an L." And I said this analogy, right? I said, "Oh, you're going to catch an L." I said, "Let me tell y'all something about being a comedian." I said, "When you in them shit-ass dive bars or holding the wall, wherever you come from," I said, "that's like boxing." I said, "This is hitting the gym." I said, "This is jump roping, this is hitting the speed bag, this popping that heavy bag, this is getting it. I said, you get on that crowd with them rude, drunk-ass people, you get on stage with them rude, drunk-ass people that's in the crowd, and depends on somewhere in Atlanta, they thugged out. Because I've actually been on a stage where a woman, or a dope boy's old lady's talking shit to you, and you about to say something, he got his hand on the lip like, hey, bro, make sure, be careful with the next thing you say, because you will see me in the parking lot. I will have that bitch out. That's the, you know what I'm saying? I was like, that's you basically sparring. And I told him, I said, this that nasty, sweaty gym that's either in North Philadelphia, the Bronx, New York, South Central Los Angeles, Little Havana in Miami, Florida. I said, but you know what this shit? Yeah, Bankhead, Westside Bankhead. I said, but you know what that's getting paid for? And I pointed to the, it's like whatever your local theater is, or the state. I said, that's paying you for whatever theater is, which is Caesar's Palace. Your ass conditioned, you ready to go? And you in the crowd, this opponent like, oh, this the chump y'all got me up against. You finna knock them out. And you finna knock them out, you finna take on the belt. Cause you like, I've been conditioned. But a lot of people know they just wanna say, well, I wanna go get it. I said, bro, you know, like I have a friend of mine. He started doing comedy a year ago. And I'm like, all right, bro, you gonna have to just hit the open mics and this, that, and third. Well, I'm trying to get in this. I said, bro, it don't work like that. I said, you trying to get featured on them shows. But I see these dudes on Instagram. I said, bro, that's Instagram. That's a fucking illusion. That's an illusion. Them boys probably spent all kinds of time. You know how many videos they probably had to do? That was maybe 50 likes, 100 likes. Probably get it as hell, 43. I said, you know how many videos they had to do before they finally got one? Like, oh shit, that's 1.5K. Oh, that's 300K. I said, bro, that takes time. But he didn't want, he's like, nah, I'm trying. I'm like, bro, it's not going. I said, bro, I've been doing this shit off and on for, what is it, 2019. I lost a year to deployment. I said, I've been doing this off and on for 8 years. I said, bro, I had to join the Navy. I said, it didn't pop for me. It's just not my time. I mean, guy probably like, nah, I might need you to go through a little bit more stuff. Or
speaking of which, let me ask you as a fellow manager. Because, so the thing was, when I jumped into management, I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew was I had to get my people gigs. So I just started calling clubs, and then they would direct me to who I... So how did you obtain the knowledge? I mean, of course, you know, by doing it, but there's a lot of people who want to skip that step. They feel like they just can go straight to booking these big venues, not realizing... You have to learn how to make the calls to the small clubs and everything, or at least that's what I feel like. But how does your take on that as far as...
I'm going to be honest, we were talking before we started up rolling. Like I said, this wasn't really my lane, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was thrown into it. But I have a good mentor. He's also my cousin. He's here in Atlanta. His name is Matt. He go by Leader. He actually is that person I was telling you about that can articulate a little bit more than I can sometimes during certain things. Certain situations, certain meetings. So the way I do it is I go there with everything in hand. I have everything, and I go to them. Because if you call them, you're going to get lost in the sauce. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
like face to face, I like that.
That's just keeping it real.
That's true.
Because if you call and ask to speak to a manager, you're going to say, what about for what? You're going to tell them, like, oh, he's not here.
Yeah.
So let me take your number. And they're gonna add that to the 20 other numbers they have.
Right.
But if you pop up on them and you know who the manager is and you see him face to face, it's like, yo, this is what I have here. You can tell me yes or you can tell me no. Like, but you have to go in there, like my cousin was like teaching me, like you have to go in there with a plan at in mind. Yeah, you have to go in there with a plan in mind. Like you can't go in there and be like, okay, now this is what I'm gonna say. Basically, you have to go in there scripted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're scripted.
Yeah.
They already know how to tell you no.
They're gonna tell you no before.
Of how to tell you no.
Exactly. Before they, when they look at you, they're gonna be like, all right, you know, he might flip, so I might tell him no this way. Tell him maybe we gotta get him in a couple months.
So it's basically like a football offensive, defensive scheme. Like, hey, they look like they're gonna run this, and okay, we gotta run that. Okay, what do we do about that? Okay, we got an audible setup for when that go, because that's a possible possibility.
But also what I've learned is sometimes you have to be repetitive.
Yeah.
You have to double back on where they already been. Like, if they were doing stuff before you, but just double back.
Yeah.
Like, where have they been already? All right, we're going to go back here. He has some new material. Just, hyped it up. You about to go on a tour, but who wants to start it off here?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody's trying to go for all these bigger venues like the Fox and this and that. But you, if you don't have 40K to put down on that table and say, here goes a deposit for this show, just in case, don't go for any big venue.
Yeah, I've actually learned that a lot of these stand-up specials we see, it'd be the comedian that had to invest to get the theater. Not like Kevin Hart, I'm a grown little man. I found this out while reading his autobiography. He paid out of pocket for that, then he shopped that to Comedy Central.
Owning your own.
And he didn't, like, Comedy Central, they said, hey, we're going to give you a special. He had to rent out that theater. I think he said he let everybody in, like, free, like, rent it out for free or whatnot. Damn near broke his bank, did it, then shopped it to Comedy Central. All these years, I thought that the man, Comedy Central, like, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to rent this out, this on you, Playboy. No, the man actually had to come out of his own pocket.
That's how 2 Chainz, when 2 Chainz made the mixtape, Codeine Cowboy, which had the single Spend It on it, he was actually about to quit rap. He spent his last, I think he said 30K or something on the Spend It video. I'm riding around and I'm getting it.
I know, I'm just saying.
He spent his last 30K on that video, and if it didn't make a return, he was going to quit the rap game.
I'm glad.
And it just so happened to be his breakout single that then got, you know, him to sign to Def Jam as a solo artist, because he was already signed.
But he was a player circle Titty Boy. That was Titty Boy at the time.
But yeah, and so it's like, you can't be afraid to, you can't think that everything's going to come to you just because you're talented or just because you got hustle. You have to be able to put yourself out there. You can't be afraid of no's. That's one thing I've learned. You can't be afraid of no's. And just because you get a no today don't mean you're going to get a no tomorrow. Like how you was talking about with phone calls, like I agree. Like that's a great tactic, but like with me, I had to do phone calls. My mobility just ain't there to pop up on folks like that. But I, you know, just because you told me no over the phone, or just because you tried to shut me up and say, they'll get back to you. At some point, I ended up getting to know receptionists and shit on first name basis. Hey, Brenda, is Leader calling in there today?
But you used to work at a call center, so that was right up your alley, though.
Nah, this is before a call center.
Oh, so that what got you prepared for the call center?
I told you, I've never met a stage I don't like. I've never met a microphone I don't like. A telephone is basically just a microphone, you know. Yeah. So I
can't see the person.
You just, exactly. And so I was calling, you know, record labels and learning receptionist names, and I ended up, you know, me and the receptionist might be on the phone talking about her kids for 15 minutes, but now I'm ingratiated enough to where the receptionist is like, oh, by the way, you've got a couple of calls, and I'm the one that she mentions first. Because me and her, you know,
there's some rapport.
Yeah, we have. So you can't be afraid, oh, they said no, call back. Call back and my thing is, you have to tell me no. You can't brush me off. You can't give me, you know, brush off tactics. You have to tell me no. And that don't mean I'm gonna quit calling. That just means I now know that you are, you know, you're not interested now. You might be interested later. But the point is, you know, you can't just be like, oh, we'll have somebody call you back. That's not gonna work for me. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, they're still not in. Listen, I told you that they'll call you back. And I told you, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, you can't be afraid to be that type of person if you're really, you know, and that even goes for the social media generation. Like he was saying, if you got a blue check, you know, people get intimidated by that. The blue check on Twitter and Instagram intimidates people now. Right. What the hell is you intimidated by? That's a person just like you, a person. They just happen to have, you know, some notoriety behind them. But you can't be afraid to be in a DM, or if you can find an email, or if you can find a phone number and reach out multiple times to get the result that you want. Or, like I said, you got to tell me no. You have to actually tell me I'm not interested. We don't want to fuck with you. Whatever. You have to tell me that. And that don't, again, that's not me personally. That don't mean I'm going to give up. But, hey, you can't be afraid.
And this is what I wanted to ask you. We was talking about, you was asking about how he deal with stuff on the management side. Well, being a manager, you know, you represent talent. So what specific criteria are you looking for in the talent that you want to represent?
Somebody who's real. My criteria is very simple. It's like, I'll go ahead and see what you have. on your social media, and we'll just work from there. Like, you have to be able to want to learn, because at the end of the day, like I told you, I'm gonna mention it because I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that I'm this super, super tight manager. Like, I'm learning every day, you know what I'm saying, to do this. So if you come to me and say, I'm trying to do this, I'm gonna put you in the positions and put you with the people that you need to talk to. You know what I'm saying? So from that point, like I tell everybody, I don't feel like I should be, I don't like the word manager anyway. Like, I don't feel like I can manage a grown man. Like, I'm not gonna manage a grown man. Yeah, I'm here to help. Like, we're gonna build. We're gonna build. It just so happens that I get a fee from it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, as you should. I mean, you putting your energy and your resources out there to help them shine in whatever field of talent that they have. Yeah. So you should get a cut of that. Like, it's like, man, I'm out there making the calls. I'm out here going to have lunch with this ugly motherfucker I don't like. I don't eat brisket. I had to sit at this damn roadhouse and eat brisket, and the man breath smell like hot garlic with butter juice.
And that's the facts.
Yeah.
And that's the facts. And that's just how easy it is with me. Like, I'm very, it's cut and dry. Like, if you tell me you want to do this, I'm gonna tell you what I think. I'm gonna be very straightforward. And that's where the disconnect is with me and with a lot of people. That's even in regular day life. You know what I'm saying? I'm very direct. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, that's gonna show you who I actually, that right there, that first meeting shows me if I'm gonna be with you or not.
Okay.
If I tell you your stuff is trash and you get upset, and you're telling me, just like you said, just to double back on what you said, if you're saying you're trying to get to Caesar's Palace, you're trying to get to the Comedy Cup and you don't wanna get booed, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, you ain't trying to be a comedian. I always tell you, that's probably gonna be, when I blow up, that's probably gonna be the quote you see with me probably sitting there with a cigarette or drink in my hand, like in a Comedy Hall of Fame, wherever it is, just like see a damn black and white photo. You ain't trying to get booed, get the fuck out the way. You don't wanna do this. It's gonna happen.
I see that for like your autobiography.
Yeah.
You know, Lil Bow Wow's son playing you.
Wait a minute, what the? No.
Charles Moss Jr. as Petey Mack.
Why him? Of all people.
Well, y'all are both short and light skinned. I just figured his son would probably look like you look now. Like, his son in 20 years will probably look like you look now and be able to play you.
You'll be your own people. You'll be your own people, man.
But to the point you're saying, though, like, for real, it's, you know, you have to want it bad enough to, you know how on TV shows and movies, somebody goes, you'll never make it, kid. And they go, I'll show you. That seems corny, but that's kind of the attitude you have to have. Now, you can't do it because you want to show them up. But at the same time, it's like, you can't let that you'll never make it, you know, actually sit in your head as, oh, well, they told me I'd never make it. So, hell nah, you know, if petty is your motivation, then be petty and be like, I'm doing this because Shaniqua Johnson told me in ninth grade that that I would never amount to anything. So this song is for you, Shaniqua, and it's on the top of the charts. You now got the number one single in America because you wanted to be petty as hell to Shaniqua Johnson. But guess what? You got the song on top of the charts.
Now Shaniqua Johnson beating your dough down and you beating on one.
Man, she got three kids.
You know what I mean?
Four baby daddies.
Hey, man. Hey.
Parking tickets. Hey, man. All kinds of shit going on in Shaniqua's life. She should have fucked with you back when you was a Waffle House cook. Now here you are with the number one single in America.
Bro, let me tell you something. I was stationed in San Diego in the Navy, and my high school crushes had to be working out there at Burger King.
You
goddamn right. You goddamn right. Goddamn right. And hey, what Bernie Mac say? What Bernie Mac say on that thing on Kings of Comedy? They act like I ain't gonna tell you. They act like I ain't doing it. You motherfucking right. Hey.
Hey.
Not Burger King. Hey, Burger King. Hey, now she was a manager. She a manager. I don't fuck with them low, but she had the key. She opened
it. So if it worked out, you could have at least got a free bag of patties to take home.
Yeah, I got a Whopper. I like Whoppers. I mean, that's my favorite struggle burger is a Whopper. They gave her the keys. She had a little note right. She got the key. She had the keys. They gave her the keys to to open the closing. So she was able to make the deposit run to the bank.
I dig it.
You know, she was able to sit over to the customers and talk to the customers like, ma'am, please, we'll get your stuff back, okay? We'll get your money back. We'll make your order right. You know, that's they only put that on somebody who got a little bit of power.
Okay.
A little bit of power, you know. I don't mess with the girl that just sitting there in the back on the fries. Nah, you. hey, like what Louis Anderson say? I'm on lettuce, then I'll be on fries. And then too, that's when I'm at the system. Big bucks come in.
So back to America.
Yeah, just 2 years, huh?
Let me ask you, because you were saying, you know, management's not really your lane. Where do you? Because you seem to me, in just the hour that I've known you, you seem to be somebody who looks ahead. You already see, you know, they say like when you write a book, you're already supposed to have the ending in mind. And I feel like you're that type of person that you've already seen where you're headed.
Because it comes from failing so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, it comes from failing so much. And then, on top of that, like, not to you, it's failing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like at certain points, you know what I'm saying, and where I'm at right now, you know, I feel like I should be way, way, way deeper, you know what I'm saying, but I kept blowing it off. That's basically what I was saying at the beginning. Like, everybody kept telling me, like, and that goes back to the point of us listening, like, we don't listen as men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we hard.
So they're telling me, do this years ago. But I can't say nothing. I just rather roast people in the cafeteria. You know? So
be honest. Like,
failure make you.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll make you buckle down and get right.
Oh yeah. Failure's the best teacher there is.
Business is a type of industry where you try, like, entrepreneurship is a rough area.
Yeah. Speaking of entrepreneurship, so you manage, partnership. I think what you do, since you don't like the term manager, I feel like you partner with.
Partner.
And so you partner with comedians and entertainers. But what is your ultimate, you know, where you're going to be?
The end game.
Yeah.
You, man, damn, thanks for stealing my damn question, Sonny.
You were taking too long to get there.
Okay.
No, but I hate it because when you stole it, and two, you asked it in a great, articulate man. I hate you, man. Man, I'm mad because I ain't think I'm hating.
I'm really waiting for this to be finished so that he can light up that black and white. Because even though I can't puff on nothing else, I do still want to hit
that.
You know, I do want to hit the black.
Oh man, so, no, legit. No, I ain't mad. Like legit, I'm fucking with you. But like, I was like, damn. That's how I know, because me and him stayed together. And we basically became like, we basically became like I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't know when I pick him up from work, I'm like, you trying to go get some chicken wings, ain't you? I'm like, he get in the car. You got cussed out by that big chick that you were trying to hit on, didn't you? Like, how not just tell by your body language? Or like, I'll be like, she felt you up in the break room, didn't she?
Also argue like two old bitches that have been friends since grade school, but
at the end of the day,
and both of us be making the same point, like it's blue, is that's a blue thing. It's midnight blue. Well, bro, I just agree. But it's a blue damn car.
At the end of the day, y'all want to rap. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
That's good.
But we went over 10. He didn't even answer the question.
What was it?
What do you see?
What's the end game of? Because you talked a lot about entrepreneurship, and so I want to know basically where I need to send my resume in 10 years.
A production company.
I want to send it to your production company, though.
Facts. That's my
end goal. No, he's saying his end goal is to have a. You're not saying like a random production.
That's what I thought he was
going. No, he was like, oh, a production company. He's like,
he was talking about blowing off earlier. That's what I thought he was giving. He's like, well, you need to send it to a production company.
No, he's like, what he said. He's
trying to work for you.
No, he's saying it's going to.
That yeah.
It's going to be a production company.
My production company. I had an opportunity like 2 weeks ago to go to Atlanta Metro Studios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you're telling me about that on the phone.
The Met.
That's my
spot.
Yeah. So. And it just opened up my eyes to a lot of different stuff. And it's funny because the day before they had a panel which was touching on why Atlanta has become the hot spot for film leaders. Mm-hmm. Because Watchmen was filmed there, mm-hmm. Avengers was filmed there, mm-hmm. Black Panther was filmed there.
You know what I'm saying? Democratic debates.
Debates.
Are filmed here.
Really?
Yes. Yo, let me tell you something. You know, but going through that gate, it's like it's a totally different world. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different world.
Man, you go on anything, any production.
Yeah.
It's a different world. Like me and him was talking about that. We touched on last podcast we did. We actually snuck into a whole season of Bounce TV's Off the Chain. It used to be like they version of Common View.
Yeah.
We snuck into, like, they shot it in 3 days. First day, I was scared because he's just like, man, we're going to stick. I'm like, bro, I don't know about this. And we just snuck in and we knew a lot of comics on the second day. The man kind of spoke to us a little bit and we kind of just like we kind of like shook and jived our way. And the third day, he held a dope and told her, hey, man, you know, catering is right around the corner. Like,
craft services. We got these craft services on the third day because they thought we was with the production. Or they had just got used to seeing us so much, they were like, oh, y'all go back there, craft services.
Greet us by name. Hey, Pete, hey, son, how y'all doing? Like, man.
Talking about the catering company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always heard TV shows talking about craft services. I thought it had something to do with, like, craft cheese. I'm like, why are y'all so impressed by craft cheese feeding y'all? Go back there and they got like filet mignon and all that crap.
And we needed that too, good boy. It was about a couple days to pay that boy. We needed that boy. I ain't never loaded so many chicken wings in my pocket in my life. But we ate like kings.
So what's the name of your company again? I'm sorry. You said it at the beginning of the show.
It's mine?
Yes.
It's Sweatbox TV. It's
just Sweatbox TV. I like that. First off, I like anything with sweat in it. I like the word sweat equity. I like the sweat to me. Yep. Just says work. It says that it didn't come easy.
So you like the sweat hotel, huh? Keep yep. sweating. Huh?
Well, sweat hotel to me sounds like you're going to get busy in the hotel. So yes, even that, okay. You know, it sounds like, hey, it's about to be some sweat. You ain't come here just to
sweat. All that crying he did in the 80s and 90s. Now you got that cool, that the love boy song. Hey, baby, what can Keith sweat? Bitch, you know back in 89, it was, what can I do?
Can I get this brother to answer the question about
Sweatbox?
You
got to put my food talk in there, baby.
So basically, the funny story is, like, I'm a sweater. Like, I sweat, like, in the cold, things mm-hmm. like that. So back in middle school, they gave me the nickname Sweatbox, right? Mm-hmm. But it was me and a group of three other guys who did like comedy. Mm-hmm. And like a group of like everybody who just basically did comedy, trying to do comedy. We would all be in this like apartment. And it was hot, so we just started calling that joint the Sweatbox. Oh. That's the same thing that I'm wearing right now. That's the Sweatbox. So I just added the TV onto it and now they're just like,
that's dope.
That's where that came from. They thought it was like trying to jump. I'm like, I'm gonna take that. Crazy thing about owning though, your own, like I said, there's another woman on YouTube mm-hmm. that her name was Sweatbox TV, just like spelled just like mine. She didn't own her name.
I got the same with Petey Mac. He's actually a rapper in the Bay Area. Spell it just like I do. P-E-T-Y.
I'm going to tell you where, who won and who lost. Since I own that name, mm-hmm. cease and desist on her videos.
Bang.
You can, if you type it in, you'll see it. But that joint has had the same amount of views for the amount of years that you see on it. Like 4 years ago.
That's another thing that folks don't know, like, because a lot of folks will have the same name, like Sonny G. There's other Sonny, there's a rapper Sonny G and everything, mm-hmm. but like you said, I registered that name.
Yep.
So you can use it, but if I decide I want to be the only Sonny G on the entertainment market, you're going to have to change your shit. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to be Sonny with two Y's or two G's right. or something like that. And everybody's gonna be like, why'd you change your name up? You know, Pusha T, what was his first album? My Name Is My Name.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't realize how important that is. You know, I Trap Nerd, there are like three different companies called Trap Nerd. One's a clothing company, and another is a record label or whatever, but I own the name Trap Nerd, Trap Nerd Entertainment. So that ownership is very important to actually being serious about, because anybody can come up with a name, but who gets paid off of it comes down to paperwork. You know, it really does. It comes down to who has the paperwork behind the name.
All right. Well, we about to get up out of here. Before we do, what is Sweatbox have anything? Sweatbox TV have anything coming up? Like, you got anything coming up? What's going on with
they
you?
We got a lot of stuff coming up.
I actually do got a lot of stuff coming up, but we're gonna have to talk about that off the air. Then we can talk about it next week once we all on the same record.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, are you what?
He gonna sign. That's what that sound like. He gonna sign.
We're gonna talk off the air.
All right, Roger that.
I ain't supposed to tell you that, but he's gonna sign.
That's right. You failed a lot of fucking tests for cheating, didn't you?
You know. What's number three?
Steven.
B?
Sonny, go to the principal's office. What I did?
I don't think it's B.
I ain't even failing you because you're cheating. Just a blatant fuck you, not even trying to whisper.
Miss Johnson got a flat ass.
My husband like my ass gone. All right. But now, how can people get in contact with you?
All social media is at Sweatbox TV.
Is that Sweat with two T's or one?
It's SweatBoxTV. And that's on Instagram, YouTube, Reborn King on Facebook. Follow me on there too.
Okay, and I want to also give it for the Negro Dan Rather over here. Sonny, how people get in touch with you, Sonny?
I am Trap Nerd Sonny. Sonny with an O, not a U. I'm not a Muppet Mater. And
Muppet
that's,
Mater.
Yeah, Muppet Mater. How do you get new Muppets if you don't make Muppets? But anyway,
Wow, okay.
But, you know,
not like,
Muppets been around for 50 years. Anyway, so it's Trap Nerd Sonny with an O. There's also Trap Nerd ENT. And tell them about yourself, Shaw Moss Jr.
Fuck you up, man. It's a long walk back to Norcross. I want you to know that. You're going to be just like how your grandparents used to be. Had to walk uphill, both ways, 10 miles.
I got Uber and thumbs.
I don't know. We in the cut. You think Uber going to come out here?
You know what? You right.
Yeah. So
I behave.
Yeah, you damn right.
Yo, Uber come out here. Uber come out here. All the restaurants don't, though. They like, nah, bro.
I don't blame them.
Where can they find you?
Okay. Y'all can find me, Peter Mac. If y'all want to email me, it's petermac10@yahoo.com. My Instagram and Twitter is petermac10. You can find me on Facebook, Pete McCarvey or Peter Mac. It's been a real, like, education. I got fed a lot.
Thank you,
Marquise, for feeding me all the knowledge.
Appreciate it.
Oh, man.
That's how I know I'm a big brother. All right, now, thank you, guys. Tell them thank you. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Appreciate
thank you for having me in your house. Cause not a little brother be like, thank you, man. Speak up, I'm telling mama, thank you for having me
look,
over
look
here.
In the eyes.
Okay, now you know, okay,
look,
now.
Look,
we, man, bro, can't nobody even see us. Why would they need to see me? How are we gonna say that? Can't nobody, I could be saying, I'm looking him in the eye, and I'm looking over on the other side of the room, total opposite direction.
They can hear the eye contact, okay? They can hear the eye contact. Now look him in his eye.
Now you sound, that's how I know you a parent. Cause you sound just like somebody. Don't you take that tone and look with me, take a tone and look with you.
That would
make no sense. No, but my mom and my dad used to do that. Like, I look at him and I have a look, and they say, yeah, and fuck you too. I'm like, damn, I sure was thinking that. Like, how did you know? I ain't saying it because I want to keep my team, but I was thinking it. But, well, we about to get up out of here. I'm going to sign off like my man, Big Keith, used to always sign out. Be cool, stay calm, get paid. We out of here.